Praise the Lord. Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you. I give you all honor and all glory. I'm asking God that you do a special thing in here today. I'm asking you that you reach down and touch your people in a different way than you've ever touched them before. And I'm asking, Father, that you just raise them up into the third heaven and keep them there. Shield them, Father God, from all the dangers of this world. Strengthen them. And Father God, let them minister from the third heaven instead of this earthly realm. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you guys to start really enjoying praise and worship. I want you to quit sitting there like, you know, God, we got to sing these songs. Well, you know, we're here to praise and worship the Father, right? I really thought that was a good song, Undignified. If you're my age, you used to square dance all the time, and you became very undignified in square dancing, right? Well, I watched the flaggers. Sister Barbara, she got loose, but the other two didn't. They just sort of waved their flags as usual. So you weren't a good leader to us this morning. You're supposed to be doing your little Irish jig, and instead of standing there going, sometimes, you know, I think you're doing the little flagging for the road. But anyhow, I'm saying all this to get your attention. You need to worship the Lord. See, I'm used to when we had revive all the time, the people would jump up and come up here and dance in front, you know, and really, really enjoy praise and worship. And now everybody just sits. And, you know, I don't look around anymore because when I used to look around, I'd see you just looking at each other or seeing who's in the church or what somebody else is doing instead of praising the Lord. You've got to learn to praise the Lord. You have to take praise to the streets. You know, instead of them walking around all in gloom, doom, and despair, you have to take praise to the streets. We used to do that. We had a good time. Amen. Set the people free. Well, the other night I was sitting at my desk and the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm looking for warriors. So that's what the music and everything's about this morning. And so Brother Chris sent me an email this morning saying, here's my radio program. So what's he teach on? Teach on the warrior. I saw it right here. But he didn't get into my message, so that's all right. What I'm saying is God's on the same wavelength. His first radio program was about the warrior, becoming a warrior, not the warrior, but about becoming a warrior. And God's having me teach you about becoming a warrior. The body of Christ is not yet ready to fight this big battle that's on the way. They're just not ready. If you look at the word that I put out this morning, I just felt like I had to write, and that's what I wrote. And I know it was led by the Holy Spirit, because God's heart is really grieved over the body of Christ and what we are not doing. And God told me this morning that people aren't willing to change, that they want to stay the same as they always have. And, you know, if you talk about change, they get all upset because how dare you invade my space, my territory. And you're not going to be able to be used by God because you're going to have to learn to change. Some of you in here, I'm going to be calling you or emailing you, and there's things I'm going to ask you to be doing. And I'm hoping and believing, since God said you're the one to do it, because God's done a lot of change in the church. He has to do the change to get us to where he wants us to be. All right? Don't go around boasting about your big ministry if you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to let go of the old to go into the new. Are you listening here this morning? All right, let's take a look at the first warrior who is our example. For thousands of years, the nation of Israel looked for a warrior. When Satan caused the world's greatest tragedy by successfully tempting Adam and Eve to sin, war broke out between good and evil, between God and Satan. The only hope for this world was that a warrior come, fight this war, and defeat the enemy. He would do it by being a bruiser, as we read in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. From that single prophecy, the picture of a warrior began to form in the minds and hearts of rabbis and Old Testament scholars throughout the ages. They expected this warrior not only to defeat Satan, but take over this world and usher in a kingdom where Israel would be restored to its rightful place as the most dominant nation on earth. No one could touch him. No one could pin his shoulders to the mat. No one would hurt him. He was the warrior, the bruiser. This is what they were looking for. God needs us to step up our spiritual warfare. He needs us to become true warriors. You know, we all have troubles. They're just there. They are not going to go away. So why are you walking around in gloom, doom, and despair? That is not going to get anything accomplished. You're going to have to start praising God in whatever circumstance you're in. All right? Come on. All right, so God did send this warrior, but he didn't send just a soldier. He sent his son. He sent him to fight a battle that he didn't invite and to finish a war he didn't start. How many of you are in that situation right now? You're fighting a battle that you didn't invite, and now you have to finish a war you didn't start. All right? But to Israel's surprise, this warrior would not fight and win by killing. He would fight and win by dying. And God's been telling us, die to your flesh. This is the way you win, by dying to your flesh. When you understand why Jesus died on the cross and what happened after his death, you understand why he is the only one who could give us the ability to conquer the two greatest problems this world faces, that's sin and death. When you understand why Jesus died on the cross and what happened after his death, you understand why he is the only one who could give us the ability to conquer the two greatest problems this world faces, sin and death. Jesus is the only warrior who could defeat sin and death. It is difficult for most of us to imagine the shock, the bewilderment, and the dismay people felt when Jesus was tortured and crucified. They never thought that would ever happen. How many of us are going through things we thought would never happen to us? We see other people going through it, and you say, thank God I'm not there. Next thing you know, you're there. Amen? And you don't even know how you got there. All you know is you have to work your way out of there. Are you listening here? God said, you get so dismayed over every little thing that comes your way when all you have to do is look to me, the author and finisher of your life. So quit, from him saying, I'm saying, quit being dismayed at the things that you come in contact with and just praise him. Learn to praise him. All right, many people believed he was, I think I've got an ant crawling on me. Many people believed he was the warrior they longed for, but how could this be? Surely this warrior did not come to die without firing a shot, without throwing a spear, without shooting an arrow, or without wielding a sword. But only Jesus could be this warrior, and you won't understand that until you understand why Jesus Christ died. See, he didn't do all that stuff that we want to do to each other. Amen? He just died to his flesh. Come on, guys. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. Jesus died for sin. And that is why the warrior had to be a sacrifice. But Jesus died in place of sinners, and that is why the warrior had to be a substitute. Sometimes when you're fighting for a soul, sometimes you're going to have to become the sacrifice and the substitute. Sometimes you're going to have to take all the blows for that person until God gets them turned around. All right? Sometimes you're going to have to love the sinner when you don't feel like loving anybody. But you're going to have to love that sinner because they are so bound, they cannot get out of their bondage. And it's only through your love for them that God's able to work and get them out of that bondage. Are you listening here? We want to throw the sinner to the dogs, and God's saying, don't do that. We have to just keep loving no matter what happens. And understand that God is your mainstay. And God will see you through. You're his child and you're his vessel. He's working through to save a soul. He will see you through this furnace of affliction that you're going through for somebody else. Galatians 3:13 puts it this way. Jesus changed places with us and put himself under the curse. Jesus changed places with us and put himself under the curse. Do you ever think that might be what's happening to you? God gives you a soul to save, you know, get saved, and you have to go under the curse so that you can minister to them and you can get them saved. Think about this. I want you to remember this. The fact that God allowed his own son to be the warrior, the one who would lay down his life for you, should tell you that you are in a war you cannot win. I want you to remember this. The fact that God allowed his own son to be the warrior, the one who would lay down his life for you, should tell you that you're in a war that you cannot win. You're in a battle against sin, and you will only lose. You face an enemy called death that will kill you for all eternity if you do not put your faith and trust in the warrior. The only way we're going to win this battle is by having faith in Christ. Keeping our faith in Christ. You and I can't do anything outside of Christ. Nothing. And he is the warrior. He is the great I am. He is the one that's working through us. He is the one that gives us power and authority over all dominion in hell. Come on. It's Jesus. Now that you have determined that without Jesus Christ, the warrior, by your side, you cannot win the battles that you face, let's move on to you as a warrior. See, if you try to go into battle without God, you're done. You're done before you ever go in there. You have to face every battle secure in Jesus Christ. Hasn't he told us that? If you stay close to me, if you become intimate with me, if you become one with me, I will fight your battles for you. I will keep you safe. All right, where your heart is where you really are. Let's talk about the heart of a warrior. The heart is the true seat of everything that you and I really are. We have not been called out to be weak, feeble followers of Christ. We have not been called out to be weak, feeble followers of Christ. And that's why I get so upset about praise and worship. You know, we are supposed to be joyous people. People full of great love and grace and compassion. But we sit here like, oh, God. You sit here like you're being tortured, and that's not the way it should be. We should be strong. We should be happy. We should be victorious in every area of our life. Come on, guys. I really want you to get this down in your spirit, because God said he's looking for warriors right now. There's a battle out there that needs to be fought. And if you're weak and feeble and all you think about is yourself and you're always saying, oh, poor me, and oh, I can't believe they've done this to me, and this, whatever junk you think, you are not a warrior. I'm hearing God say you're still an underling. You're not a warrior and he can't use you. You have to be stable and you have to be secure in him. And you have to have your feet cemented in that rock, Jesus. And you have to know that no matter where God sends you or what he sends you to do, he will go there with you. He will walk by your side. He doesn't make things go away, but he's there with you and he's walking through every valley experience right by your side holding your hand. Every time. We have been called out as intercessors, gap standers, warriors, conquerors, defenders of the truth, heavenly patriots. This is what we're supposed to be. Intercessors, gap standers, warriors, conquerors, defenders of the truth, heavenly patriots. Paul constantly related our daily Christian walk to an ongoing struggle and battleground. Paul constantly related our daily Christian walk to an ongoing struggle and battleground. I hope that by now you have arrived at the place in your lives where you begin to understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, the enemy will be constantly attempting to make to wage war against you, a true child of God. I really sit at home and I just shake my head after a service. And I say, God, why can't they just receive you as who you are? Why can't they deliberately be changed? Why are they still sitting there like they never heard your word? Why are they still sitting there looking so defeated all the time when they should be conquerors in Jesus Christ? You should be asking yourself that question. Why am I always defeated? Why can't I stay victorious? Amen? Well, if you didn't have any money, hey, I've been there, done that, and still am. Come on. Well, if you didn't have your kid, well, been there, done that, and still am. That's why I played that video. What was it? Sunday, Wednesday night. And when Wednesday I played that video? That pastor was saying he's raised his kids up right and they went wrong and he's saying, shut up. You know, that's what he was saying. You know, he's not going to go die because his kids went astray. You can't make your kids do anything. You just lead them in the right path. And, you know, it's up to them which way they go. Come on. Where am I at? All right, so Satan desires to bring us down, to destroy our faith and confidence, to shatter our hopes and dreams. That's his job, and he's working really good at it. Ultimately, Satan desires to defeat us completely. This is where the heart of a warrior comes into play. If your innermost man, your heart, is set on being a warrior, if you are a warrior at heart, you will be prepared for whatever may come your way. You will be prepared for whatever may come your way. You will live every day saying, bring it on, devil. Bring it on, devil. My God is stronger than you. And I'm going to defeat you at every turn. You're not defeating me. This is how I've been praying with this idiot that's harassing me. You're not stronger than my God. You're not stronger than his word. All you are is circumstances. Leave in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on. Oh, poor me. What am I going to do? No, that is not a warrior. You know you're a conqueror already in Jesus Christ. You know that you've won every battle. It says so in the word. We're victorious. Isn't that what it says? So why are we moaning, groaning, and complaining? If you allow God to, he's going to change your mindsets. He really is. He's going to show you where you're thinking wrong. He's been doing that with me. I was saying, well, if I would have only, if, and God said, just quit. Let me show you the true picture. And so he did. Then I had to repent for the what ifs. Come on. Let him be real to you. Let him show you what you really are going through. Then let him help you change yourself. You don't stay where you're at in that hole. You climb up out of that hole. How are you going to help anybody else if you stay in the ditch? You first have to get out of the ditch. King David was a veteran of many foreign wars. He was a conqueror, a defender, a true patriot. David was also a veteran of many spiritual wars and was thus primed in the art of engaging the enemy with the sole purpose of victory. He never thought about going out to battle to lose. He always went to battle knowing he was going to win. And every time a situation comes into your life, take that thing to the courts of heaven, knowing that in the court you're going to win. Come on. I took this thing to court last night and I said, God, the devil's sitting right there and he's going to hear everything I have to say. I got up feeling better this morning. I could actually function. Are you understanding this? I got sick and tired of just saying, devil, you're going to listen to me. Took it to court. All right. When you take it to court with God, the devil has to listen to you. And a verdict has to be put down. Amen. Psalm 27:1 says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Y'all don't even believe that, but David did. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See what David said? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I wish y'all would believe that David believed. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. See this? In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall meet me high upon a rock. Set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. We don't believe all this. If we did, we wouldn't walk the way we do. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Nudge Alyssa, please. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You see how David thought? Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. When you and I was typing this, I thought about the people that say, you walk around in rejection and everything else. Well, my mother left me. My father abandoned me. Get out of here. David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Because of his enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart, see this, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You need to go home. What is this psalm? What? Psalm 27, verse 1 through 14, you need to go home and memorize that and go around spouting out to the devil all day long. That'll get you victory. It really will. Being involved in such a vast number of physical and spiritual struggles and battles, David is more than qualified to, and see, read that again. Being involved in such a vast number of physical and spiritual struggles and battles, David is more than qualified to instruct us in waging successful spiritual warfare and in the process developing the heart of a warrior. So, you know, David had to go through all this so he could instruct us. Get out of here, you dummies. What you're going through is so you can help other people. So quit always complaining about what you're going through. Come on. Being involved in such a vast number of physical and spiritual, vast, that means large, right? Number of physical and spiritual struggles and battles, David is more than qualified to instruct us in waging successful spiritual warfare and in the process developing the heart of a warrior. In other words, as he went through all this stuff, he developed a heart of a warrior. He learned how to war against the enemy. He learned how to be strong. He learned how to stand tall and firm in the face of his adversary. Developing the heart of a warrior begins by placing our number one focus on God and not on fear. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. So I said, developing the heart of a warrior begins by placing our focus on God and not on fear. And then we read verses 1 through 3 again. All right. So David begins with a strong declaration. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, the body of Christ doesn't know who is her light and her salvation. Come on. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I have never known fear in my life. I've never feared anything. But the other night, I got awake. And I was laying my back to it in my bedroom door. And I heard this rustling of paper. Fear totally consumed me. Totally and completely consumed me. So bad that I couldn't even move on the bed. And the dog was laying on the floor. I saw him. He's laying on the floor on his back with his feet up near sound asleep. And he barks at anything. And finally I said, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And I was able then to turn around and look to see. And nobody was in the room. Well, I laid back down again with my back to the door. And I heard the rustling again. And this fear consumed me again. And I had to pray to get out of that. I don't know what that was. I think Sister Nancy said it was the enemy looking for a way in. But I rebuked him and told him to leave my room in the name of Jesus and told the angels, you better be doing your job and doing it right. Because I don't want to go through this again. But I can understand when people say they walk in fear, because that I have never walked in fear in any days of my life. But that thing paralyzed me to the point I couldn't move. But David said that he was not afraid of anything. And I never have, and I still am not today. And I really don't know what that was all about. But as I prayed, it left. All right, I said David begins with a strong declaration. So this is an illustration. Max Lucado shares a story of a parakeet, and I've shared this before, of a parakeet named Chippy who had a very bad day. It began when the bird's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She was almost finished when the phone rang, so she turned around to answer it. Before she knew it, Chippy was gone. In a panic, she ripped open the vacuum bag. There was Chippy, covered in dirt and gasping for air. She carried him to the bathroom and rinsed him off under the faucet. Then, realizing that Chippy was cold and wet, she reached for the hairdryer. Chippy never knew what hit him. His owner was asked a few days later how he was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. All right. Have you ever felt like that? One minute you're whistling through life, and the next you're caught up in a whirlwind of stress. There we sit, just staring. Life sucks you up into its vortex, and just when you think you have recovered from one trouble, another wind of adversity blows in your direction. I'm just going to let Brother Chris just get it all out. He's back there laughing, already about choking. All right. So life sucks you up into its vortex, and just when you think you have recovered from one trouble, another wind of adversity blows in your direction. The application to all this. Don't be like Chippy the parakeet. Don't let the song go out of your life. David did not let fear take the song out of his life, and neither should we. Amen. You ask, but how is this possible? It is possible only when we focus on who God is, how great he is, and what he means to us. I'm telling you, I'm living this recently. I have to keep focusing on this every day, or sometimes all day long. If not, I would not make it through. And I'm just talking about life circumstances. And the emails come in. Everybody's under a lot of attack. The phone calls come. You need to talk to me. I'm under attack. You know, everybody is going through this. Everybody. You're not the only one. You're not the only one in the boat. Everybody's having their trials and tribulations right now. God is our light. He is our salvation. Because of him, we are no longer living in the darkness of sin. No enemy can take God's salvation from us. You can lose it yourself, but no enemy can take it. You have to give that up. All right, B. Continuing in verse 2 and 3, David says, when evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. God says, I will take care of you. When I took the devil to court last night, I said, devil, I stand on Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54 is my scripture. God gave that to me when I was first born again. And 54:17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I said, you stupid idiot, take your weapons and leave in the name of Jesus, because they're not going to prosper. All right? Come on. He says, though war break out against me, still I am confident. It doesn't matter what comes your way. Be confident that God is with you. He's allowing you to go through your trials and tribulations. And you know, maybe he's letting you go through a really bad time right now because you thought you had it made. You thought you was all ready to go out there and go to war. So he's okay, let you go through another struggle and see how you fare in that thing. And you're not faring too well. That struggle's taking you down, taking your joy, your laughter. You know, you just walk around all gloom, doom, and despair. Your head hung low. Better be careful, you're going to drown. Amen. Come on. Spiritual warfare requires confidence. Confidence not in our own strength and abilities, but in God and His strength and abilities and His power. The enemy uses psychological warfare against us. He knows that if he and his demons can get believers to fear, they have gone a long way in winning, the devil has gone a long way in winning a spiritual battle. If a situation comes upon your life and he can get you to walk in fear of that situation, he has you. You know, I've proven this over and over again that I don't care what comes in my own life, no matter what comes in my own life, I give it to God. I have confidence in God that He said He would provide. You know, that He's the author and finisher of my life. And He's going to see me through every struggle I go through. Are you listening here? I hang on to that because I have confidence in my Father. If He doesn't take care of me, then I'm done. I found out I can't take care of myself. I found out it's been God all my life that's been holding me in His hands and bringing me forth. It's nothing I did. It's everything that He's done. Amen. All right, David, the veteran warrior for God, knew the secret to winning the fear game. Focus completely on God. Oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to go back into my sin. You're not focusing on God. You're focusing on your fear. Oh, I'm so afraid my kids are going to backslide. You're not focusing on God. You're focusing on fear. Oh, I'm so afraid that I don't have no money and something terrible is going to happen to me. You're focusing on your situation. You're not focusing on God. Come on. A warrior's heart is refined as we learn to practice consistent fellowship with God. And then this is what David said in verses 4-10. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. When David says all the days of my life, he is talking about constant communion with God. He is not talking about coming to God only when he is in trouble. Come on, some of you, this applies to you. When David says all the days of my life, he is talking about constant communion with God. He is not talking about coming to God only when he is in trouble. David puts it this way in verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Do you believe that? Then why are you walking in fear? Why did David have assurance in times of trouble? Because before trouble ever got to him, he had been dwelling in God's house all the days of his life. One of the greatest mistakes you can make in spiritual warfare is to wait to train for battle in the midst of battle. Train before the battle ever begins. As David mentions over and over, the greatest place to train for battle is in God's house. See, verses 6 and 7. And David says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. David said, God's just going to lift my head up above my enemies. I really don't have any enemies. But he was always in constant battle. Always out in the battlefield. But yet he said, I have no enemies, right? Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. He just doesn't expect to be the one to talk, and he wants to hear God talk back. How many of you, go to God and talk and then just jump in bed or go do something else. You don't even wait for God to answer. You have to give God time to answer. David made it a constant practice of his life to attend worship in God's house. David was an excellent warrior for God because he was faithful to the house of God. 21st century children of God are losing a great battle here. Kids do not want to come in the house of God. The church people don't want to come into the house of God because the battle's too hard, too rough, too long. Things are too tight. And they don't want change. So they're slipping away from God. All right, in verses 8 through 10, David says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. See, God told David, seek my face, David. And so David said, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. When David cried out to God, God answered him. And what was God's answer? Seek my face. To which David immediately replied, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So the application to these scriptures is, what are you seeking today? Comfort, riches, popularity? God never asks us to seek any such things. He asks us to seek his face, seek intimacy with him. Well, God, make that person just quit talking about me and make that person just like me. That isn't what God tells you to seek. It says, seek my face and I'll take care of your enemies. Seek my face and I'll turn the situation around. Are you hearing here? God desires closeness. He desires a personal, intimate closeness. Even when others, including close family, reject you, God desires you. The key to victory in spiritual battle is consistent communion. Do you walk with God face to face, or is your relationship with God on and off? Strive for consistency. Make worship a priority. The defining step of a true warrior is learning to live an upright life. And this is what David said. That's in verses 11 through 14. In verse 11, David said, because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Because of my adversaries. See that? As Christians, our desire must be the straight path. Very little is said today about the value of a morally good life. It is not politically correct to even say that one way of life is good and another is not. That one action is moral and another is not. Traditional values in society have been torn down in the name of fairness and tolerance. This has also led to weakness in spiritual warfare. Have you noticed what's going on in the world? A pedophile is running for Congress. They're trying to legalize pedophile, that they won't get in any trouble. Do you just really understand what's going on out there? Are you really a warrior for Christ that's able to go to battle on your knees in prayer and fight for these things? You know, I'm really concerned about this election in September, and I took it to God last night, and I said, God, what can we do to make sure that this election turns out the way you want it to? Well, he was telling me what it was, and somebody walked in the room and interrupted me, so I have to get back to it again. But you need to be on your knees about this election. If the Democrats win, they want to impeach their president, even though God told me before impeachment ever was brought into picture, he said the president will never be impeached. So I'm believing that was God's voice. And I'm not concerned about that, but we still have to be on our knees in prayer about this election in September. All right? And you need to go out and vote in September. All right, the enemy tries to persuade us our values are outdated or intolerant. In verse 12, David says, do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. So when you live a morally upright life, people will be cruel to you. They will falsely accuse you of being holier than thou. Trust in the Lord for patience and protection. Verse 13, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. God is a good and loving God that will reveal to you his goodness in your time of need. See, David said in the land of the living. He didn't say after he went to heaven. There is a good and right way to live, and there is a wrong way to live. We know the right way, but the majority of the church lives the wrong way. We have not changed our value system. We're still working for the devil, when God wants us working totally and completely for his kingdom. In verse 14, David said, wait for the Lord, be courageous, and let your heart be strong. Wait for the Lord. So when God says, be still, that's wait. And so David said, when you're in that wait mode, he said, wait for the Lord, be courageous, and let your heart be strong. Wait for the Lord. Don't get off course and try to do it yourself. Wait on the Lord. The only way we can overcome society's impulses to compromise is to follow David's counsel here in verse 14. A true warrior never compromises. A true warrior never compromises. You know, I've been reading a lot where they're saying now that we need to kick the world out of the church. So I finally thought, well, I'm going to read one of these articles, see what they're talking about. And what they were saying is you need to teach sin is sin. And then the article goes on to say you won't only keep the world out of the church, you also kick the church out of the church. Because the church doesn't want to get out of sin. The church is still compromising. I thought it was a good article. But I could think, what kind of junk is this? And finally, they sent it long enough, I read it. And then I said, well, God, when I teach sin, people get upset with me. He said, that's not your problem. That's theirs. If they get upset, then that's because they have something deep-rooted inside of them that they need to take care of. He said, you just preach the way I tell you to preach. You preach what I tell you to preach and let it fall where it wills. All right? So don't be concerned if somebody gets upset with you when you tell the truth. The truth should be setting them free. But if they're going to stay upset with them, they don't want to be free. All right? I was always concerned about that because I knew people sat in here really deep sin, but I still have to preach the truth. And your job is to let the truth set you free by working your way out of your sin. All right? And one thing this article said, too, was that it used to have that kind of preaching going on, but the pastors have compromised because they themselves are in sin and they don't want to lose the head. They don't want to lose the monies. And so they'll just compromise the word and they won't preach the truth. All right. Deuteronomy 21 says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Don't be afraid of the enemy's face, is what it's saying. Go out there. You know who you are in Christ. Go out there girded with the word of God and do God's work. Speak the truth. Set the captives free. Psalm 44:5 says, through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Isn't this where we're at? We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. That's where we're at, church. This is the facts of life. This is the truth. It's not a rose garden that we're in. We're in warfare. And we need to become warriors for God. And not be concerned how much shrapnel hits us. Because God said he would be there to protect us and defend us. We just need to go forth girded with the truth of God and preach the truth and go forth. For years I've known this person and they've been in sin, deep sin. And I got a telephone call from the other day saying, I'm so glad that you've always stood your ground all these years and always spoke the truth. Because finally, I have decided I'm not going to compromise my walk with God, and I'm going to start living holy. Are you understanding this? The person said, you preach hard, and you don't let anybody twist the word, And even though people left the church because you preached hard, you kept preaching hard and you kept telling the truth. But yet, under it all, you loved. And that's what's brought me around, is your steadfastness. Your steadfastness. So see, if you're a warrior, you're going to be steadfast. You're not going to be concerned about what people are saying. You're going to lose a lot of friends. But were they really friends? Or were they the enemy in disguise? All right? You need to know Jesus wasn't popular either. I hope the above verses spoke to you wherever you are in battle today. May they give you strength to fight on, peace in knowing that the outcome, and refreshment from the joy of certain victory. Take heart, mighty warrior, you are fighting on the winning side. Conclusion, do you have that warrior's heart? Are you winning life's battles? Make the adjustments the Word of God calls for, and your life will be victorious. This life is full of battles. Threats to our faith are always present, and as Christians, our fight is against the powers of this world that call us away from God. The good news is that we have every weapon we need at our disposal. When we put on the armor of God's Word and remember that Jesus goes with us, we can face down every enemy and rest assured that we will come out victorious. The following verse serves as a reminder of that promise in 2 Samuel 10:12. Be strong and let us fight bravely for our people in the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in His sight. It said, be strong and let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in His sight. God goes before for us and sees the scope of every battle. He knows how strong the battle is going to be before you ever enter into it. And He will give you the strength you need to fight and stay in that battle until you win. Trusting God for the outcome is what makes us strong soldiers or warriors. All right. If I stepped on your toes today, good. Go home and wash your toes and put salve on them. Because I'm not going to apologize for anything I said. You know, God, you just don't understand how much God speaks through me. And I'm saying, no, 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 God, no, don't go there. But He goes there anyhow because He knows your hearts. He knows what you need to hear. And we need to become warriors for Christ, true warriors. The battle is raging out there, raging really bad. And TV is getting worse and worse and worse. It's not even worth watching. Even the children's programs are terrible. So where are we going to turn except to God? Who is your strength? Who do you really look to when you really need help? You know, come on. You have to get rid of all your stupid religious spirits, because it's spirit calls on the spirit. And religion has no place in this dispensation that we have been thrust into. If you don't understand what's going on, we are really, truly preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Everything is lining up. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but He's been telling me so many three times now. God said, my Son is coming sooner than the church knows. And I have to get this work done. And this is why He's looking for warriors, because I'm sorry, but if you're weak and you're feeble and always getting your feelings hurt, you're not a warrior. You are not. And you'll never make it. And God won't ever call you either, because you're not strong enough to do the works He needs to have done. Father, I thank You and I praise You this morning. Father, You are the victorious one. You sent Your Son Jesus as a warrior, as an example for us. Paul was a warrior. Peter was a warrior. Father God, Your disciples all were warriors that we need to look and see how they fought their battles, who they relied on. It was always You. And You always brought them forth. Even in death, You brought them forth in victory. So, Father God, I'm asking right now that You touch each and every heart, each and every mind, and all the emotions in here this morning. And, Father God, heal the land. Heal the land so that a true warrior can come forth in might and in power to do the mighty works that needs to be done in this dispensation of time. And, Father, we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.